is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, one of the fastest rising stars in the cable galaxy. My assistant Matt is in studio tonight from the TLC Adam Carolla Project, 10 o'clock on TLC. And let me say hi, Matt.
Another rising star, I'd like to think. Me and Drew.
Oh, yeah.
In the cable galaxy.
Drew's on the, well, Drew's kind of on the way down. I think you may pass
risen,
them at
risen
some point.
Star.
Yeah. What you're looking at with Drew is a star that burnt out a long time ago.
Right.
Just taking the light.
Right. It takes 5,000 light years to get down
for it to
here.
Travel to.
Yeah.
The star's burnt out and extinct. You're just seeing it through your telescope right now.
Yeah,
yes, Drew?
Yes, yes.
Technically, you're not here.
Right.
Right. Let me say this about the TLC, the Adam Carolla Project on TLC. I know it's got my name on it and sounds like I'm blowing hard here. It's a great show. I love this show. And I'm in it 30% of the time. I like the guys and everyone loves this show. And I don't blow that hard about everything I do. Like, I didn't come in here and start yapping about Loveline or Crank Anchors of the Man Show. I'll give it a little plug. I would give it a little pluck, but I wouldn't be in here like, oh, the Man Show, Crank Anchors.
Right. You wouldn't be blowing hard.
No.
Just be talking about it over and over and over and over again.
No.
Oh, Drew, a little pluck.
Seriously.
You would not blow hard about it. Seriously.
How much Man Show plugging did I do when it was on the air?
Little or none.
Thank you. Okay. And Loveline,
we did not.
I'm telling you, this TLC show is a good show.
Best show on television, the Man Show.
Jesse Ventura. Circa 1971. Had a premonition about the Man Show. Part of the thing that makes this show great is my assistant, Matt. He's all over it. He's on camera. He's my muse. He's my doctor. He's my lawyer. He's my nurse. He's my muscle.
We just did a little promo before in Los Angeles here before you came in, and Matt suggested that his job is to, of course, say yes and to meet your every need. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's to cupping your balls.
Mm-hmm.
And doing something with a feather in your ass.
The thing with the feather.
Oh, Matt. I thought we had an agreement.
I'm just saying.
You did not get that email I had
you're
you
gay.
Send yourself,
no.
Did you? I can't email, but when I get angry at Matt, I have him email himself. Dear Matt, take this down. Dear me. No, this is Am. No, you misspelled the sea sucker. Yeah, go ahead. I think it's one word. There you go, buddy. All right, now send that to yourself. Now read it to me aloud. It's really, I know it's a little condescending, but I can't type or email. But once in a while, Matt and I get into it, and I got to fire him off a vitriolic email. He's just got to do it for me.
Yeah, I understand.
It's tough with your assistant. They have to buy you a you have to go out and buy you a birthday present for you. Mm-hmm. They have to do all that stuff.
It's very funny.
Matt is dynamite. I'm making him into a man. He's making me into a woman. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Adam has taught me everything I know about being a man. I have had no male role models.
He taught you how to go pick up lumber and stuff, right?
He's having something you do stuff like at, that.
At,
little.
I heard there's a little skiff, little scuffle at the about what plastic fitting in the back of his truck.
Adam put a little lattice on the roof of his car and go pick it up.
Yeah. Did you talk about that on the air?
No, I don't think I did, but Matt started yelling at me and I yelled at him.
Honey, it was on a main street in Burbank. That was a beautiful moment for us.
I was saying, in fact, that he looks back at his beginnings with you, his meager beginnings, and thinking, why do I still have a job?
Yes.
How do they put up with me?
I do.
Well, I have a dangerous combination between ultra-low self-esteem and not caring about things. And people say to me all the time, are you going to let that guy talk about you this way? Or this guy was talking ass behind your back? Or why don't you? And I'm just like, oh, please. Yeah. I don't even care.
Right.
I got to keep moving forward.
Yes.
But not to mention that you love me.
I do love Matt.
And the feather thing. There's the feather
and
thing.
And the balls on the feather.
You're gay.
You know what I like about Matt, too, is Matt busts the chops of all around me.
Not just you.
If somebody, we bust my chops too, but if somebody says they're coming over at 8 in the morning and they show up at 7:55, Matt yells at them and makes them stand outside until 8.
I do. I throw a fit.
And here's the most enduring quality about Matt is he doesn't wake me up. people call at 9:30 in the morning. Where's Adam? He's asleep. Go get him. No.
Oh, no. That's why you have a job.
Mr. Parola is sleeping.
A big part of that.
Oh, you've always dreamed of that, man.
Yeah.
I want to hire a guy. Life.
I want to hire a guy to put a velvet rope around my bed and just stand there. Huge black man with his arms folded.
No, it's
just
Matt.
By the rope.
It's Matt.
Well, no, Matt. Matt is standing outside the door.
I see.
Matt's outside the door with a headset and a clipboard.
Yeah,
clipboard.
A skirt, yeah.
Then Lucius.
In a skirt.
Lucius, mm-hmm. or Heavy J is in there. That's a 300-pound black man. Played a little pro ball, but he blew out his knee. He's just standing there with the single earpiece, not the headset, the earpiece. And he's standing with his arms folded, and he's standing by the velvet rope.
Sunglasses.
And I'm there sleeping.
Perfect.
Oh, my God. I sleep like an angel. Hmm. Yeah. Anyway, Matt came out. Here's the thing, all you kids, all you guys, everyone's listening. Everyone wants to know, how do you get into whatever business? How do you get into radio? How do you get into television? How do you get into whatever you want to get into? Barring, pardon the pun, you need a degree, a law degree or something like that. How do you get in? Matt, how did you get in?
Tenacity and connections.
That's right. Now, what did you do? Just tell your story very
literally,
quickly.
I contacted an alum from my high school.
He was reading the alum magazine at his high school, which, by the way, I don't think North Hollywood High has one of those.
What high school did you go to?
Northfield Mount Hermon.
In Massachusetts?
Prep school in Massachusetts.
To
Prep
Amherst
school.
College.
Yeah.
So I was right there.
I went to Hampshire.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
You know about me, then.
Oh, I know about Hampshire.
You know what I did.
Oh.
So,
lived in a donut.
What was your major in college?
Oh, I did that. Honey, my gag reflex. Queer studies.
Is that what they call it?
Queer studies.
That sounds like Hampshire.
Yeah.
Hampshire's a good school.
Look
but it
at
was,
the engineer. Who are you?
Anderson, come
Hampshire
on.
Was an experimental college. It got going in the
70s.
That's what it's like in the action movie when the penis is flying at the ass and Drew's diving in front of it. All right, somebody's going to cornhole the president. Drew's going to stop him. Here's what I got to say about queer studies. My mother was a Chicano studies major over at Valley College, and I thought nothing could top that in terms of useless majors. This may have done it, and if my don't ever tell my mother about this, she'll be furious.
Look at this man. He's a rising star on cable.
Well, I'm just saying, don't let my mom find out that there's such a thing, because she'll go over to Hampshire College and take that, too.
But your mom's not Chicano. That's the thing.
I would say that makes her more hardcore.
Right. I think that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore, because she looks like Tom Petty, and she's taking Chicano studies.
I know. I love her.
Oh,
I love
God.
Your mother. She calls me just to talk.
Oh my God. I know.
She can't talk to her son. She hasn't talked to him since she was three.
How dare you.
She is obsessed.
All right. So you're...
Really? Whoa. Hold everything.
Yeah.
What?
She is very interested in Adam's career and
what?
Really proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
We get real sentimental on the phone with each other.
Wait a minute.
I told you my mom's turned the corner.
But like in the last few weeks, she's been maybe gotten cable.
She's not very interested in your career.
What's wrong with her mom? Why is her mom into it?
Why is what?
Why isn't her mom?
Helen, you're talking about my grandma?
Yes. Why isn't...
What the hell is he? A psychologist? He was a queer studies major over at Hampshire College.
Hampshire's a good college.
And Sarah Lawrence. I have to know Sarah Lawrence, too.
That is a combo.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The gayest. That's what I say. I'm the gayest.
But that is like gay studies on gay studies.
Yes.
Yes, it's awesome. But Grandma, why hasn't she come around to follow Adam's mom into this?
Grandma Helen, she's a blowhard. That's what we say about her.
Yeah,
she's
keeping it real.
She does, honey. She called Adam a bastard the other day on the phone. She said, that bastard, who does he think he is showing up late for dinner?
Awesome.
That's what she said. I love that. Awesome. Very right. Betty Davis.
That's good. I feel vindicated.
I was watching some upcoming, making some notes on some upcoming episodes, maybe show 8 or something like that, and she was doing a little interview explaining why. I think someone must have asked her off camera, why do you think Adam's famous or something? And she said, I don't know, because he lacks charisma. Lacks charisma. Yeah, thank you.
No showman.
Not a showman. So, Matt, here's what I'm trying to... Here's what I want to impart to all you kiddies listening. Matt is over at Hampshire College.
Hampshire College.
Don't correct me, Drew. He's a queer studies major. He's not doing nothing. He's looking at his magazine from his high school.
High school
alum. On it, he sees my partner, not Jimmy Kimmel, but Daniel.
His life partner.
Oh, Daniel went there.
Daniel went there. He sees it, and he fires him off an ass-kissing email. Right?
It was a very unprofessional email. It was crazy. I said some really...
In Daniel's world, that ranks high.
Daniel gets the email, and he comes into me, and he says, hey, there's this crazy guy who went to my high school. We should talk to him. Next thing you know, Matt's standing in our office. Mm-hmm. We send him out to another production because we weren't doing anything at the time. Mm-hmm. They passed on him, but then later when we started to get this show together and I needed an assistant, he thought of Matt. The point is Matt took the alum magazine,
sat down.
What risk?
Out to California. It must have been a big risk.
Well, I'm just saying firing off.
Yeah, the email is nothing.
The email.
But the follow through is really what counts here. He came out, got his butt out, showed
a little initiative. Everyone does that. Oh, it's who you know and it's timing and all that BS. You got that magazine. You had a good idea. You wrote an email. 9 times out of 10, that stuff comes up snake eyes. But that's why you got to do it 10 times, not once.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Well said.
And look at him now. He's on top of the cable pyramid.
How long have you been out of Hampshire?
A year. A year and a half.
Goodness. Yeah.
And then Sarah Lawrence.
Sarah Lawrence first, right?
Sarah Lawrence first. It's a little too hoity-toity for me.
Wow. Man, I'm telling you, going from Hampshire to Martin Lawrence, that's Sarah. A lot of school.
Lawrence, honey. The University of Martin Lawrence. I wish.
Now, what are they're both very liberal, progressive schools.
Yes, and Sarah Lawrence is 75-25 women to men.
Oh,
yes,
but all diesel dykes, right?
All theater majors.
Yes.
Ooh, some scary, angry women.
Right, dancers and
lots
and
of
theater
fat
majors.
Girls who like rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It was fun for me.
Bryce?
Okay, short of breath.
Bryce?
Yeah.
17.
Yeah.
What's up?
How's it going? Yeah, I have a girlfriend who lives across the bay. I'm actually more towards San Francisco. I live in San Carlos. And she lives in Fremont. She's a half hour away. And I've been dating for about 6 months now. And she has grown up with guys. She's had, like, pretty much all guy friends. And the good part about that is that's who made her. And it's like,
all right.
Let's get to the question,
Stop
Bryce.
Stop the editorializing.
Yeah, here we go.
17-year-old editorializing.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Basically, I just want to know if I could trust her because I've gotten, my jealousy has gotten to the level where, to the point where it's like, we deleted all our numbers in the phone book and we started over.
All right, Bryce, we'll stop you right there. Here's your deal. Mm-hmm. All 17-year-old males have a ton of this kind of energy. It is very uncomfortable for them to see their girlfriend around other guys. They feel very threatened. They feel like they're not good enough. And the other guy's going to swoop in. And, of course, she likes the attention and sort of flirts a little bit. And you feel terribly threatened by that. But what you got to assess is what's going on here. Is she committed to you? Does she have a history of chaos? Is she able to commit in relationships? Are things going okay?
Can he fairly assess that as a twisted 17-year-old?
It's very, I agree with you, it is very difficult. But that's all you can do. That's all you got. You can't say no to the male friends. You can sort of set some limits
but what is some criteria that he can judge her by?
Did her previous relationships end with cheating?
Bryce, any cheating in her past?
No, I mean, not that I know. She tells
her parents. Are her parents together?
No, her parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. Well, they're separate, but they're not divorced yet.
All right, any chaos in her upbringing other than divorce?
The only thing I know of is maybe arguing, a lot of arguing.
No physical abuse or anything.
Well, look, why do you live across the bay? I mean,
I met her over the internet.
Yeah, that's already weak.
All right, what's your plan? Is anyone going to move closer to anyone? Are you both in high school?
Yeah, I'm in my last year of high school. She actually graduated early. She's in college now, but we're going to move in together sometime in August because we're both going to San Jose State. So.
I don't know. I think it's even a worse idea. This is Bryce, this is sort of the handwriting's on the wall, this one, I'm afraid, buddy. Just go ahead and enjoy it for the time being, but these things are not meant to go forever.
All right, but then somebody gets pregnant.
No.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I know. We'll give them... Tell them no.
Bryce, no. Don't get her pregnant.
No, I know.
That's
a little squirrely.
What was that? What are you saying?
What's that?
They're not sexually active.
Phone screwed up. Look, here's what I'm saying, kiddies. Matt, this doesn't include you and your ilk. But point is, you're squirrely, you're 17, your head's not screwed on straight, that's fine, that's how it's supposed to be, and then someone gets pregnant.
Yeah, that's
that, and now all of a sudden you're in.
Different thing, yeah.
The difference between being, getting someone pregnant and not getting someone pregnant is like, look, when you're 18, you don't have anything going on, go ahead and join the Coast Guard. Go in there for 2 years or 4 years. Right. Go join the Marines. Go into. But when you have a kid, you join forever. That's it. You're in forever. 16, 17, boom, you're in.
So what are you studying? Queer studies.
Oh, well, man. Daisy like Chaney, Corn Holding.
Truman Capote. what do you do?
it's just like emphasis on felching. Yeah.
It's like any minority studies. I mean.
Really?
Women's studies. Black studies, the history, a lot of the history.
Is there some good gay trivia or something? Or as far as taking this knowledge and applying it to the outside world?
Everyday life.
Every day?
Oh, yeah.
Everyday application. Yeah. I think my mom's that way with the Hispanic, Chicano studies.
Notice that.
Yeah.
That's why she used to come hang out at the job site.
Yeah, I know.
She likes Oswaldo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure they could talk. Yeah, my mom looks like Tom Petty, by the way. Blue eyes, stringy hair, and white as a ghost.
She's beautiful.
Chicana studies major.
But 4 years of at Sarah Lawrence was something else.
Well, there are no majors at Sarah Lawrence or Hampshire. It was just what I focused on. You kind of create your own. I did like that and creative writing.
They believe that excludes people. Like if you declare a major, then there's someone who might not have a major. Right.
And Adam wondered why I didn't know about the pecking order. I didn't really respect that when I got into this job because I hadn't had
never
to.
Been around
I was
the
always
man.
I was always around the woman.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
You never seen the man.
Yeah. Well, you see, I think there's a marginally dangerous message that is sent in the super liberal world. Certainly happens a lot in the black community, which is, hey, you don't listen to anybody. Don't let anyone. Don't you ever let anyone tell you what to do. If you don't want to do something, don't let. Let me explain life. All you do is have people tell you what to
do.
Eventually, God willing, you get to be the guy who tells other people what to do. And by the way.
And even then, you still got somebody telling you what to do, no matter what.
Always. And it's not you telling people what to do because you're evil. It's you telling people what to do because you have experience and you've earned that position.
You're the president of the goddamn United States. You've got lobbyists telling you what to do because they gave you money. You know,
Somebody telling you what to do. And if you get people trained to be defiant against people telling them what to do, that person's going to have a horrible life. Now, the person telling them what to do is not going to have a bad life. They're just going to fire that person.
Right.
That's how it works. And the other thing, too, is it's there's another thing that we sort of have, too, which is somehow you're brown noser if you listen to someone who tells you what to do. That's not brown nosing. That's called being a private, and there's a general talking to you.
By the way, that private may be a sergeant soon.
Yes. And the other thing is believe me, the general has somebody from the Joint Chief of Staff that's above them and telling them what to do.
And the president's telling the Joint
everybody
Chief.
Has somebody telling you what to do. That's right. Yes. Michelle?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you guys? Good. I have a really big question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 18, and me and my boyfriend have been together for a while, mm-hmm. and he wants to try double penetration.
Double? Hi. Does that mean him and another
somebody
guy?
Else?
Well, no, he wants to do a dildo first, just because I've never done a threesome.
Sure, try run. Sure.
But he can't even get it in. I don't know, he's not very big, not to make him put him down or anything, but he's just not very big, and he can't get it in. Like, is there any way I could, prepare my...
Liar, whore, you know it.
This is so bogus. You got nothing.
Where's the guy behind
You've got
her?
Nothing.
She just hung up.
Yeah.
And anyway, that should have been sent to me, that question.
Yeah. Please.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. If somebody's worrying about
all
that.
All DP questions. Assistant Matt. Yeah.
So, Matt, go ahead.
Honey, loosen it up with any household appliances, tools laying around.
Graduated. What do we use? Lucite bulbs. Here's the thing. Listen, all you bogus idiots out there, have a question. You shoving a question mark on the end of a non-question,
a statement, yeah.
On the end of a statement doesn't make it a question.
Right.
He's really small, and so he can't get it in. Well, first off, what do you mean he can't get in if he's really small?
No.
What? If he was fire hydrant size, it would slide right in, but if he's because he's a popsicle stick, it's not going in? Is that what you're saying? First off, do not be a retard with your horrible logic. He's really small. He can't get in. And then there's that question. I want to know, is there anything I can do to loosen up?
Yeah. Mm. Okay. What?
So bogus. Mm. Chicks are so inferior at bogus calls. They really can't pull it off. But here's the thing. If you are a chick and you can lie just a little bit, you could probably...
Rule the world.
You really? There's not a ticket you couldn't get out of.
Oh,
you know what
true.
I'm saying?
They've not had to lie, see?
Here's the reality. If you said to just about any woman, Drew, you'd probably have to give them a little technical advice about ovarian this mm-hmm. or cystic fibrosis that or some sort of vaginal whatever. They got pulled over and they said, wherever they got pulled over, first off, have a hospital in mind, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, all you got to do is say, I'm
hemorrhaging from a cervical polyp, on my way to Cedars.
I have cervical polyp, and I was going to use Cedars, actually. or pick the other one. You can pick County SU. Wherever you're near. But just go, I'm hemorrhaging from a cervical polyp. I just got the phone with my doctor. I know I'm speeding. I'm sorry, but I'm actually, there's blood coming out of me now, and that's why. You get out of every single ticket.
Well,
every single ticket.
You get an escort.
Yeah, well, you don't want that. I'll walk you up to the room. You would get out of every single ticket. That's all a chick. That's all a chick has to have. Guy, be like, yeah, kiss my ass. You're getting another ticket. Women,
you got to mention bleeding and pelvis.
Something with the vaginal area.
And
something
blood.
With the pelvis.
And blood.
Something with some discharge or some blood. There's not a cop alive that's not just giving you a finger, telling you get going, go on out of here,
get,
go on. I said get.
But that's not true for all men because when I get pulled over, you know. They're just confused, and they don't know what to make of me.
I think you still can pull the cervical bleeding.
I can do the bleeding.
Yeah. Oh, you say, could you pull a transgender thing?
I could, or I could just do a rough sex
thing. I think that's insulting, Drew. That may be insulting.
No, the rough sex thing will not. No.
I'm bleeding. I just had some rough sex.
No, that would not go.
No, that's going to get you a beating. That's going to get your broomstick in there.
Yeah.
No, I think the
transgender thing works.
Well, how's that one go?
Listen. I've just had the operation. I'm still living as a man.
That's cat.
And I'm hemorrhaging.
No, I'm still living as a man. It's going to get you a beating.
And I'm hemorrhaging.
Mm,
come on. It's maybe. Just enough. It's just over the border.
Mm,
you're gay.
Mm, I don't think so, Drew. I think it's going to get you a beating.
I think it's just over the border. Because guys, it triggers too much about their discomfort about the female area. And they just go, it's just, even if a man's carrying it.
I'm just saying if one woman would memorize that little saying that Drew just laid down, she would be scot-free. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. My assistant, Matt, is in here tonight. Star of the Adam Carolla Project on TLC at 10 o'clock on Tuesday nights. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Loveline's phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
There, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom Kinney's coming in here. SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Oh, Drew, you weren't here last night.
No, I know. I missed it. I'm really
bored
of this.
He was talking like SpongeBob and filthy.
But worship the cloven hoofed prince of darkness.
Yeah. How great is it that he'll do that and none of the other voices will come, except Seth MacFarlane will.
Talking about like Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson will not give us a single Bart word.
Well, that's not true. Yuck. With everybody. There's
no, a lot of them. I'm just saying it's great that he'll break out SpongeBob like crazy.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. My assistant Matt in tonight from the TLC show.
Yes.
Rising star in the cable galaxy. Matt is he's actually my assistant and plays my assistant on
and
the Adam Carolla
Project.
Feather
duster or something. I haven't heard quite what happens there, but...
Yep, he gives a little...
Like a chimney sweep or what the hell?
Ball cupper.
He's a ball cupper.
Chimney sweep, yes.
He's the third eye duster. He's all, he's everything. He's my muse. He's my lover. He's my best friend. He's my therapist. He's Santa and the Easter Bunny all wrapped up into one. Yeah. 10 o'clock on TLC. My grandmother, I was laughing with Drew about this last night, but Matt hasn't heard it. You know, we always laugh because she's a ball buster. She calls Matt up, wants to know where I am, calls me son of a bitch.
Bastard. Mm-hmm.
She saw episode one, but she faded in and out because she fell asleep. That was that was her critique.
Did she tell you that?
On VCR. Yes. Wasn't that she stayed up late to watch it? Now, she was watching on
VCR.
Honey,
she's 93.
She told me she caught part of the first episode, but she kept drifting in and out. And she has it on cassette.
I mean, she's a woman who gives her a bath. She's
really old. I know. And the thing about my grandmother is, my grandmother's old. My grandmother does not leave the house. And my mom doesn't really leave the house either. But there's a weird compensation thing where they have a busy schedule because they don't leave the house. So it's always like, I'll be like, Grandma, how about I'll come by on Saturday? I'll pay you a visit. The lady who gives me a bath is coming on Saturday. It's like, oh, okay. I know. Your book's solid. Ooh, you Donald Trump? Your schedule's like Swiss cheese. There's holes everywhere. Just please, can we do this? My mom will do that same thing. They're like, I'm very busy. Here's the deal. You can't tell people you're busy. We'll decide whether you're busy or not. You don't have a job and you pick up the phone every time someone calls you, you ain't busy. You know that?
Yeah, I know that.
All right. Terrence?
Yes, Terrence.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's your question, buddy boy?
Sir, my girlfriend is a year older than me, and last year I went up to visit her up at college where I played in a football game that night, and then I visited her. Mm-hmm. Well, we had intercourse. After that, a week later, she developed herpes, and I have never had since then. That was a year ago. Since then, I've never had a breakout, no nothing, but she seems to think that she got it from me, and I don't understand. But the doctor said she had type 1 down there. I don't understand
Well, first of all, it's hard for him to know what type she had. Secondly, do you have...
Why is it hard for him?
Because they don't do the viral testing and the cultures and isolate the different types of viruses.
Is it academic at this point, the type 1?
Yeah, it's completely academic. But the question then for you, Terrence, is were you having oral sex with her? And do you have any... This feels bogus to me.
It felt bogus from the first syllable. Except for some guys have a bogus...
Cadence, yeah.
Insincere.
But as I'm answering the question, I'm realizing there's no question. It sort of was set up a little too...
Terrence...
Sir. Just recently you brought up a fight about it because she seems to think that she still got it from me, which...
All right,
a cold sore, no nothing.
Not in your mouth?
No, sir. Not at all.
Were you having oral...
This is definitely not bogus because we keep fighting about it.
Were you having oral sex with her?
It can't be bogus. They're fighting about it.
Of course not. Were you having oral sex with her at that visit?
It's mathematically impossible for it to be bogus, Drew, because they're having an argument.
And if you had unprotected...
He says they're having an argument, so Drew.
And
he calls you sir.
That's hot.
I just like that part.
Where are you from? The South?
I'm from West Covina.
That's the West. Why do you call Drew sir? I like that. Is your dad a military man?
No, sir. I'm training to be a firefighter.
I love it. Call me sir.
Yeah.
Call me sir.
Call him sir.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I need to step out.
I like the slow motion you're getting.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I want your Mormon slowed down, too. Are you a Mormon?
You're good.
Let's see if they answer that one. Terrence, have you had unprotected intercourse with her since she developed the herpes?
Yes, sir.
And then you didn't develop anything on the genitalia?
No, sir. Nothing at all.
I have to say her diagnosis is in question.
Yes.
It really questions whether or not she actually had herpes because you should have gotten it. Now, it's possible you've had it all along, didn't know it, and the reason you're not getting subsequent outbreaks is because you're the one that always had it.
Well, but if he never had...
It's hard to make that case. It's possible it happens
once
in a
while. If he never had an initial breakout...
But they can be missed. There's such a thing.
He can be a mule. He can be carrier.
Yeah, carrier, exactly.
But I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think maybe he gave it to her from his mouth, but then why didn't she give it to his genitalia? Which is what would have happened there if you had unprotected sex.
Okay.
You don't have to
all
have
I'm
them.
Saying is Terrence is sticking to the story of, how could I give you herpes? I don't have herpes.
And I'm saying, why don't you get herpes from her if she has herpes?
Right. And then, hey, Terrence?
Yeah. Yes, sir? I'm here.
I'm buying it. I'm buying your story, and I think you should stick to it.
Well, I don't understand. I don't know whether she might have cheated on me while she was up in college.
No, but Terrence, it does. She's not even behaving. She doesn't even seem to have herpes because she would have given it to you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So she needs to see another gynecologist, all right? We get another opinion.
Where is she going to college?
Well, she was up at St. Mary's, but now she's back home.
Oh, St. Mary's, you know. Oh, definitely, St. Mary's, yeah.
Okay, here's the other thing, too. It's tough to have a relationship when the person is away at college and you're back doing fireman training and you're 18 and she's 18 and no one trusts anybody. Why do that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, here's the thing, everybody. When you go to college, you shouldn't even have a steady who's at your college. But what you really shouldn't do is have a steady who's not at your college. Because you're going to mixers and parties, your roommates, sororities, fraternity. Yes,
Hampshire mixers. Hampshire had mixers.
What do you mean? Everyone would get in their best half of the party gown and you go around the Maypole.
And you'd eat raccoon coat on?
I'd come out of the raccoon coat, pull up my Stutz Bearcat, 22 Skidoo.
Oi. Do you have mixers at Hampshire?
We didn't call them mixers.
Five college mixers.
Mm-hmm. No? Didn't have mixers?
Craft dens.
Yeah.
Crap dens?
Crack.
Crack dens. Oh,
Thomas?
Yes.
You married a girl you're not sexually attracted to?
Yeah.
Me too, baby.
Sorry. There's two parts to it, though. I'm not very physically attracted to her, but she's got the best personality, and I love being around her, but sex is more of a chore.
How long has it been like that?
A little bit before she got pregnant, because we talked about having a kid, and then we ended up saying, hey, let's try this. We tried it twice, and one got through.
Hey, let's try this? You mean try to get pregnant?
Yeah, try to get pregnant.
Not try to have sex?
Yeah, no, we've had...
Hey, I just think if you're not into that person sexually, that's going to be a problem. You're talking about spending a lifetime with somebody, and that is going to be a problem.
Drew is a man of exquisite passion, and we differ a little bit here.
So for you, it's just a hassle to have sex with your wife.
Well, here's what I'm saying. You hook up with somebody and you go the long haul. Gay Matt will back me up on this one.
I'll back you up.
Yeah.
Talking about anal sex again?
No, what I'm saying is you hook up with somebody and you've been with that same person for 15 or 20 years. You're not going to be chomping at the bit to hop on them every night. Drew, as a man of passion, does not share those feelings. I can tell you for most guys, at a certain point in the relationship where they still enjoy intimacy and they still enjoy sexual contact, it's not like, oh, man, I can't wait to get home. We're going to do it in the entry hall.
No.
So, but there's variations.
Yeah, yeah, but there's shades. Be 23, just married, and sex is a chore. Mm. As soon as it becomes a chore,
that's
even
not
at 50,
off to a good start.
That's bad times.
Is it
really?
Sorry, Adam.
Wow.
Is it a visual thing? Are you not physically attracted to her?
Matt, you make sure you're around when he has kids. It's going to be a change everything.
Honey, I'm the wet nurse.
He's going to be gone next week.
Suckling your kids?
Are you physical? Is it the physical stuff?
See, that's why I'm not sure. I'm in the middle of the night. I'll wake up and we'll be going at it. I talked to my brother about it. He said, well, he's had a few issues like that. Like, he'll wake up and then she'll be in the full swing of things, and I won't even realize what's going on. And so we went to the doctor, and on the scale, on the testosterone scale, I'm like 312. But the doctor said that was within normal ranges. Is that low on the normal ranges, or?
No, it's normal.
What's normal?
You can go down to 180, I believe.
You know what I am on the testosterone scale?
Probably
10,
honey.
There's no sort of testosterone is a wide range of normal, so this really isn't a normal for a 23-year-old male. It's really not been established well.
Okay,
but here's the deal:
is there something physically wrong with her?
Yes, you're having a sleep disorder. I mean, this is usually trauma survivors that start having sex in the middle of the night. This is part of night terrors and all that stuff.
What's the part where you talk to your brother about it?
I know.
Because I asked my brother, I said, "Hey, what's going on, man? I wake up in the middle of the night and be going at it," and he's like,
"Yeah, What's the part where you ask your brother about it? Hey, man, I asked my brother. I told my brother. I know. I got that part where you talk to your brother about
it. Why is that okay is the question.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Why isn't that weird?
I beat off twice last night. I'm going to get my sister on the phone, man. I'm going to talk to her. Hey, what's up? I pulled one off in the shower and another one standing over the sink.
What's going on, sis?
Put my youngest nephew on the phone. I want to see what's going on. Hey, yeah, you're five. You're a dude. What's up? I know it's weird when you have this talk with your brother about banging your wife.
Something is wrong with either Thomas and or the wife. in terms of their psychiatric
condition. Let's try to figure something out. Thomas?
Yes.
Is there anything wrong with her? Try to be objective, but is there any reason why a reasonable man wouldn't want to have sex with her?
One thing I know I'm not attracted to is her nipples, but that's the only thing. She's got rather big nipples, and that's not my cup of tea.
All right.
Other than that...
Yeah. All right. Well, now you're... Yeah, that's nip-picking, as we call it. Nip.
There
you get it?
Now, in your sleep, who is it that initiates the sex? She, you think? I mean, does she say, middle of the night, you suddenly started doing this to me? Or is that she with you?
I don't know. She says that... She'll stop me. She's like, you tried to get frisky with me, and I stopped you. And I'm like, okay.
You start. Okay, were you beaten as a child or anything?
Well, my dad used a paddle sometimes, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. God, this has a bogus quality.
I know. I don't buy it either.
Yeah, everyone's sounding bogus to me tonight, but... All right. So,
Thomas, bogus.
No.
Come on, buddy.
No, I've been trying to call
you. Okay, hold on a second. Drew, let me explain the bogus quality we're hearing tonight. It's empty. And when you hear empty...
It's empty and rehearsed and sort of and strangely pat. You know,
all right,
when my dad realized that was child abuse, he stopped paddling me with that 6-inch, you know, it's like...
When your dad realized it was child abuse. But, okay, but let me say this, Drew. There's a lot of people that are not in touch with
themselves.
No, you're
right. Yes.
And these robots. People... make horrible actors.
Yeah.
But everything that comes out of their mouth sounds like bad acting because they're mechanical.
Yes.
I really do believe that there's a percentage of this planet that is walking around like they've just using the human form as a host. I work with these people. They're always behind the counter. I'm always trying to get something from them. They're always in my way somehow. They're asleep in front of me at the stoplight. But a good percentage of this society, and maybe these are people that were survivors of abuse, and maybe these are people that had less than adequate childhoods, but they just seem like they're living in someone else's body, like there's some tiny Martian the size of an embryo that is controlling this human form. And you say bogus, but really almost what you're saying is
it's empty,
not empty.
But right now, so here's the other question. Thomas, has anybody ever been suspicious that you had a bipolar condition, manic depression?
No, I've been tested before.
For bipolar?
For everything. They sat me down and gave me quizzes and talked to me.
Why?
That stuff because of the divorce.
What divorce?
My parents went through a divorce, and there was a lot of things that went on with it.
Like what?
Well, my dad beat my mom, and then my dad pulled a gun on my mom. And
all right, well, that's where your nocturnal stuff's coming from. That's where your sleep disorder's coming from.
That's terrorizing to a child.
Yes. So this is your condition. This is you've got some issues that need to be dealt with.
How do I go about starting to deal with
it? I would see a psychiatrist. There are all kinds of sort of nighttime sort of terrors and behaviors that can
be... He's calling from New Mexico. So you see a shaman?
No,
lithium.
Something like that.
$400. Pay the nurse.
There are many different...
Don't validate parking.
Medications for this. There are some good medications. And I have a suspicion that even your feelings of... this is why this thing...
How come Indians talk like they're shifting gears? You know, it's like going through like a 6-speed transmission. Occasionally they grind. Downshift in the car. Then it's back in. What is it? They really mimic the car transmission.
But one of the reasons this call troubled me so much is I think the reason he's getting into this I'm not attracted business is he was attracted, but now that he's married, that means horrible abuse and chaos and stuff. And so he's sort of pulling out by saying, you know, I'm not really into this. I don't want to be too close. So really, Thomas, you're just new in this
get
marriage.
Get some help, buddy. Some therapy. What do you do for a living?
Actually, I'm an
EMT. EMT. All right.
Yeah. So this is all. There's a lot of stuff going on with you that you apparently are not aware of. But the singular symptom that is troubling is these nocturnal behavioral manifestations where you start spontaneously having sex with your wife in your sleep.
Yeah.
You probably also sleepwalk, have terrors, that kind of thing. That's all from that horrible experience.
Get that looked into. Now, Drew, one of the things we've always differed on a little is I've always said the 23-year-old guy who gets it on in the middle of the night. You've always said, night terrors and whatever, sleeping disorder. Mm-hmm. I've always said, all 23-year-old guys do that. You've always said how disturbing that was, and I've always been like, 23-year-old guys get crazy boners at 4 in the morning, yes, and they want to put it somewhere.
They don't wake up in the middle of an orgasm, you know what I mean?
But I argue, and we always argue, that there's this sort of fuzzy line between awake and what you remember, and it's like getting up, and it's like that phone call in the middle of the night where you have the conversation, you hang up, and it's like you don't remember it because you were asleep, but yet you were lucid enough to carry on and have a conversation. I think that's what happens to a lot of guys.
I understand. It's not, I can tell you for sure it's considered an abnormal behavior.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
But as a man of passion, surely you engage in that.
I'm just saying. I didn't say I was always normal. But
All right.
But what about our nipples? Can she get them taken down a notch to at least dime size?
His thing is he's afraid of closeness because he's afraid of the chaos erupting that happened in his family of origin.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. My assistant man is in studio tonight from the TLC show we do, Adam Carolla Project, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, TLC. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Thank you for calling Loveline. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Loveline. Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody, I'm Loveline. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is talking on the phone. I guess he's calling the hospital or something. Turn your back, Drew, please. We don't need to overhear that conversation. My assistant is in the studio tonight. Matt, I need a little warm-up on the coffee.
Right away.
Thanks, sweet pet. Matt is featured on the Adam Carolla Project on TLC. 10 o'clock on Tuesday nights on TLC. And like I said, I've done a lot of shows. I don't talk about all of them, but this one, it's a good show. You're going to want to see it and see check Matt out in the flesh. All right. You want to talk to Jason, who's 29 and has a reverse ED, stays erect for 2 hours after sex, or quiet, Drew, overly submissive Shasetta, overly submissive therapy groups. All right. I'm going to talk to the guy with the year-long boner. Jason?
Adam.
Carolla.
Got my friends doing it in the pool and their kids too.
Thank you. I do really think that if we all push, we can replace Marco Polo with Adam Carolla by the year 2007.
That's right. It will happen, Adam. It will
happen. Thank you.
All right.
Hold on a second. Drew, turn your back. Turn your back, buddy. Your back. Jason?
Yes.
Sorry.
I'll
try to turn around. Go ahead.
I want to know if it's normal, because pretty much what's happening is I'll have sex with my girlfriend, and after about like the normal, I guess, 2 to 5 minutes, I'll come, and then after that, I stay erect and cannot have an orgasm between like the period of time, and it takes me a long time, or it takes her a long time to give me the hand job, or just keep having sex, and after a while, it actually starts to hurt.
Why do you keep having sex?
Let me explain the cutoff for hand job. 25. There'll be no more hand jobs given after age 25.
Oh, okay. I'll make sure
goes out with Sonny D and thick crust pizza. There's no need for a hand job. I'm telling you, if I was standing, next to Claudia Schiffer and she's like, "You want a hand job?" I'd be like, "No." Well, it's a hand job or nothing. Nothing. I don't care who it was. I don't care who it was. I've outgrown the hand job.
Yeah. Disappointing.
When I look up into my life's rearview mirror, you know what I see?
Hand jobs.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I understand he's complaining that he doesn't get soft after ejaculating, and yet he continues to have sex?
Exactly.
Well, of course.
But then he can't ejaculate.
Of course, you're in your refractory phase, and as long as you continue to stimulate yourself, you will stay erect.
Well,
stop all that?
Even after, I can stop, and an hour later, it's still semi-erect at least.
Yeah,
semi-erect.
Yeah, you're 20, you're young, and you go.
You should put it in your waistband.
You got any medication?
Yes. I've told Drew this. Oh, hold on. This is bogus.
I don't believe this call.
It's not bogus because I've been listening to you guys say the bogus thing all night long. And I've been worried about calling on this because I thought you guys would think it would be bogus.
But I don't understand what the question is.
I understand
why
it's a problem.
Okay, I was wondering if the question is it normal?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not normal when it's painful. That's called priapism.
Yeah, look, Matt brings up a very valid point, which is put it in your waistband.
Mm-hmm. That's for Lynette.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to my girl.
Here's the thing. When you have an erection,
you're gay.
Faggot better run.
Here's the thing. When you try to take your erection and push it down, that's it tries right. to push up because yeah. it goes against the pressure.
Yeah.
You tuck it in your waistband, it just drains. Yep, yeah. It is the slide whistle going mm-hmm. the other direction.
This is the useful that's part right. of your studies.
Slides. Yes. Oh, my. Yes. Kenny did an entire semester on what you should do with your boner. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, true.
It's called Your Boner and You.
I mean, your boner and You. Oh, my God. I went to Valley College and took a human sexuality class, and I think they had a tranny get up there and speak.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. There's where your taxpayers' dollars are going, everybody.
What happens to old trannies? I always want to never see them. They're like 60,
old 70. Trannies never die.
Oh. Right? Ever seen an old
I was in a play with an old tranny who worked construction, 60s.
Honey. Here's the thing about everything old that has its day, whether it's trannies or tats or vag piercings or whatever it is. When it gets old, look out. Old tats, old hood piercings, old trannies, they go south in a big way. Here's what you want to be. You want to be old, you want to be Asian, and have no markings on your body. That makes the best old person right there.
Asian?
Yeah.
African-American?
Yeah, that's good too, but you could be missing a leg or something from diabetes. You didn't take
hypertension,
care of
yeah,
when you're
right.
30.
You're right.
I'm switching to Asian now. Plus, when you're old and you're black, people just think you're crazy. And when you're Asian, you have wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We are going to say good night, goodbye, and mahalo to my wonderful assistant, Matt, who is from the TLC project, the Adam Carolla project. Matt, God love you.
Thank you for having me.
Nice
boys.
Work. Don't be late tomorrow, buddy.
I won't.
And,
that's why. I see he's got to come get some sleep.
Yeah. And easy on the snot rockets and the coffee. Don't think I don't know. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. My assistant Matt from the TLC show has left the building. And yes, Drew.
He's the gayest man in America.
I think he may be.
He's committed.
Well,
he dresses the part, mm-hmm. and he has studied the part.
Yes. Studies.
Queer like studies. Pamela Anderson studies girls.
Queer studies. What do you mean?
He's almost like a gay impersonator. He's so gay. He's like
right. He's a gay
like
dresser.
Over the top.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's fetishized as being gay.
Well,
interesting.
You know, it's sort of like those guys who have a team and they wear the jersey around a lot, and it mm-hmm. becomes part of their personality. You know.
I don't know about that, honey.
You study those penguins. You study those pirates.
I don't walk like a penguin though, and I hate the pirates.
All right, you study the Steelers, you study the Penguins.
He doesn't walk like a penguin. I know, he's more sort of staggers. All right, let's move forward, shall we?
Yeah.
Natalie? Talk to Natalie. Natalie?
Hi, how are you? 28.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I just started dating this guy, and I'd like to go down on him, but mm-hmm. I don't know how to say this, but his semen is very acidic. And mm-hmm. when I swallow, it's not tasty. And mm-hmm.
my semen is Hasidic.
Hasidic?
Yes. Chewy. It's not gooey. It's chewy. It's not acidic. It's Hasidic. Acidic.
Nice.
Yeah. Go ahead, Natalie.
It has a good nose, though.
Oh, yes. Beautiful bouquet. Go ahead.
So I'm wondering if, you know, the old wives' tale that you can drink pineapple juice and make your semen taste.
Never seen that actually reproduced. I've had people try it and people claim it.
You've tried it on this show.
Yeah, we did on the show once as a taste test. And it didn't
I wasn't anything. Here, but it must have been 15 years ago.
Yep, I'd say.
I remember hearing that show when I was driving around in my truck.
Yep, 15 years ago, and it didn't do a damn thing. People could not tell.
Is that how the test ended up?
Yeah. Some of the guys did it, some people didn't, and the girls all came back with all over the map. Not one got it right. Not one could tell whether the pineapple juice had been drank or not.
All right. So, wives' tale.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Do you have to ingest it, or couldn't you just sort of transport it to the sink?
Absolutely. And there's no, I mean, you know, because I can still give him head and not swallow. That's fine. I would just prefer to swallow. But it wasn't like this with my boyfriend.
I know, but why would you prefer to swallow?
Less mess.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Again, I you know, we used to discuss this quite a bit. It's been a while.
Well, here's the.
I feel like we need to go over the beats again.
First, let's discuss the whole issue of trying to make things come out of your body, taste, smell, look better than they do.
Right.
It's hard to make. Can you make snot come out of your nose, look and taste differently?
Well, here's the thing. If I ate nothing but that marshmallow topping, my fecal matter would be almost edible.
It would look soft.
You would want me to take a Duke on your sundae.
On a cone?
Yes. You like the waffle?
Just the sugar cone.
Or like the sugar cone. Sugar cone? All right, hold that under my ass.
Yeah.
I've been eating...
Just whipped cream and strawberries.
I've been drinking the marshmallow right out of the
excellent.
Jar.
Perfect.
And I will drop a marshmallowy Duke on top of your soft swirl.
That's the same thing.
It's the same logic. Your body converts everything into something that tastes horrible.
Yeah, it converts into what it converts it into. Now, you can probably make things worse sometimes. I mean, garlic sort of make things worse and stuff. But it's literally, let's take the pancreas as the paradigm. Pancreas is a gland that secretes stuff into your bowel.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that taste differently or work differently? You can't.
Right.
No matter what, you know?
Yeah, and I do think just like, well, if you eat a bunch of garlic, maybe you get a little BO or a little breath or something the following
day.
I think
it's more the smell.
But your BO is never going to be good.
Right.
There's nothing that you can eat that's going to make your BO smell good.
No.
It has a choice between bad and worse.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that semen could go from bad to worse too, depending on, you know, if you eat Mexican that night.
Well, asparagus isn't gonna help.
You're not gonna help. You're just not gonna make it any better by eating pineapple juice.
This sort of a range, and it's not good.
And then talk about pressure on a guy. It's like he's got to finish off 4 quarts of pineapple juice every day because he may get a Hummer when he goes home. And then thirdly, again,
the guy's not interested in your ingesting the goods.
There are a handful of guys who are the prove you love me guys.
Yeah.
Who it's not enough that I get a BJ. It's you must do something that disgusts you.
That's anal sex guy too.
That's anal sex guy. That's what I'm going as Halloween. By the way,
good look.
Big brown cape.
Nice.
Corn cob earrings.
Yes, the people are calling you.
Anal sex guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big A on my chest.
Mm-hmm. Carrying a big corn on the
cob. Huge staff. Corn on the cob staff. Brown cape, knee-high boots. It's going to be awesome. Anal sex guy.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Yes, anal sex guy and this guy are oftentimes the same guy, which is prove it, baby. Mm-hmm. Take it. Oh, and as soon as you say, well, I'm really not comfortable. You're not?
Yeah.
Now you got to prove it to me. Mm-hmm. That's a weird guy. That's a guy who turns sex into something else. Like, it's not just... Oh, this feels good on my ding-a-ling. It's got to haunt you.
Yes.
It's got to bother you. Yeah, I have to disgrace you, soil you.
Right.
I'm getting a boner.
Oh,
slow
Jesus
down a little bit.
Christ.
Anal sex
God
guy.
Help me.
Here's the thing. We need you to not interrupt the BJ at the point of orgasm.
Yeah.
That's what we need. What you do with the semen after you collect it.
Then to be collected even can kind of.
None of our beeswax.
Right.
Well, look. Here's the thing, and I always use this analogy, but once in a while you grab that thing of milk out of the refrigerator, you take a swig of it, and it's, oh my God, this stuff's gone bad. You know it without swallowing it, it just goes to your mouth. Mm-hmm. This is sour cream.
Zip.
Now, do you spit it all over the refrigerator, or you just walk over the sink, drop it in the sink, and get a quick rinse? That's how it works.
A mature adult does it that way.
All right. Natalie, can't you do that just like it's bad milk?
Sure. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, right, and listen, fellas... We don't know the disservice guys are doing to each other between giving chicks a choice between swallow or nothing. Oh, no. There's a huge middle step in there, which is just receive and transport.
Or just whatever. Just don't stop.
Here's the deal. You ain't the gas station. You ain't the refinery. You're the tanker truck.
Mm.
I just need you to bring it over to the toilet.
Mm.
That's it. I have a tank load of semen. I need it brought to the toilet. Could you bring that over there for me? Yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shasita?
It's Shasita.
Shasita, of course. Give me something different. Here we go.
Does everyone mispronounce your name?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's really weird in Gaelic, and yeah.
Do you correct everyone all day, every day?
Pretty much.
Don't you curse your parents?
No, you have to stay on hold. Because here's the thing. Do not correct them.
Line two. John. That'll be easy. John's a name you can handle.
All right. Joan?
Jahan?
Jahan?
Yeah, that's probably John.
There you go.
All right. And do we need two Johns? He's J-O. Oh, no. And I'm not an idiot who has to correct you all the time. They'll see you writing something down if you're just making a note or something. J-O-H. J-O-A. I mean, no, you wrote J-O. Yeah. What do you think? I'm at the DMV right now? Just jotting a name down on a Post-it. That's all. It's J-O-H-N. What is it with that? Here's what we... Drew, do you understand the society we're now living in?
Oh, yes, I do.
We're living in a society where there's six different spellings for every goddamn name, and every single person feels entitled, and they're all wounded narcissists, so now they have to go around correcting everyone all the time. No, that's not... That's not... No. Suzanne. Not that... Not Suzanne.
With a Z.
Z. It's S-U-Z-Z-Z.
Two N's.
Four N's and threes. No, not Andrea.
Amy. A-I-M-E-E.
Amy. It's not A-M-Y. It's A-M. Okay. Is anyone ever, by the way, are you ever going to get it right? Steven. No, it's S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Okay. Really? Is this what we need? Even if it's pronounced the same way, we need six goddamn spellings for every name. And then everyone has to correct everyone all the time. Just leave everyone alone. I swear to Christ, my wife calls me Alan. I don't say anything. John?
Yeah.
What's
22?
Up?
Wait, what's this?
You're 22?
Yeah.
Are you J-O-H-N or J-O-N?
J-O-N.
All right. Okay.
Go.
Simple. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. I'm having a really hard time reconciling my sexuality with my faith, and I was kind of hoping I'd get to talk to your guys' guest tonight, but he's not there, so I'll just talk to you.
Yeah, I'll ask him tomorrow when I see him. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, thanks. All right, so I'm bi, and...
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
I've been raised Christian, and... You know, I'm at, like, a place in my life where I'm, you know, questioning everything that I was ever raised with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just a part of my sexuality that says, hey, you know, got to go out and screw guys from time to time. I was just, you know, but, you know, the book that I've been raised is, like, supposed to be, like, 100% accurate, so on and so forth, is, like, telling me that that's wrong. And, you know, you're brainwashed with something all your life, and, you know, it kind of gets in, and...
you said brainwashed. Yeah.
Well, here's
the thing, John. First off, you're gay. You're not bi.
Let's be clear here.
You don't go out and bang a guy's ass every once in a while, and then you're on to vaginas every second Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
You're just gay. Go ahead and be gay. We give you permission to be gay.
Right.
Even if your Christian upbringing doesn't want you to be gay, it's okay for you to be gay.
Well, here's the other question then. So then you're saying that because I'm attracted to guys every once in a while, I can't be attracted to girls at all ever?
You can be attracted in your own sort of rational sort of way, but you're gay.
Okay, so I have a question. Are you guys, like, straight?
No, we're 69ing right now. I've got a microphone up Drew's ass.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, then do you guys ever, like, look at a guy and say, yeah, he's kind of hot? Or
No.
Now, here's what you can do as a straight guy. I will give you the parameters of a straight guy. You can recognize the difference between attractive men and unattractive men.
Even that's hard for what women perceive.
Untrue.
Sometimes when women look as attractive.
Look, like, I look in the mirror and I see someone hot staring back at me. I'm not an idiot. Okay, I'm not going to pretend like I'm blind.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we know that Ricky Martin is an attractive man, and Andre the Giant wasn't the best looking guy on the play. Hell of a wrestler.
Right.
Great hair, but not a great looking man. So we know the difference between good looking men and unattractive men. That's number one. Number two, we are probably, like all human beings, probably attracted to the healthier, better looking, more virile guys. Even guys, even straight guys, if they're going to have buddies, they'll go out and want to hang out with the guy that all with the cleft in his chin that all the chicks love. A, it just gets them
more
little
girls.
Yeah, a little more runoff poontang. But the other thing is I believe there's a component. Put him on hold. He's been scoffing into the phone. I believe there's a component to all human beings that are just attracted to healthy and virile.
However, I was just involved in a functional MRI scan of heterosexual men where they show you images of naked men, and all the men had threat responses in their brain.
Really?
Yeah, I did too, and I had no subjective experience. It was just like looking at pictures, you know, as a guy. My brain went, boom, the amygdala lights up with these threats. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, so that's about as far as guys take it. Now, when straight guys see gay pornography, they find it physically repulsive.
Absolutely.
As nothing.
And then the whole idea of that is just you can't even. It's right. It's equivalent to thinking of your parents having sex.
Yes.
It's that same feeling, like,
Right. Now, here's what the left would like you to think. Here's what all the fag hags over at Sarah Lawrence would like you to think. And here's what the liberal left elite academics would like you to think. They like us think that our minds are poison. That's just closed, narrow thinking. And societal pressures, heterosexual societal right-wing pressures, have forced all males to retch when they see gay pornography. Untrue.
No way.
Untrue. That is built into our fabric.
Mm-hmm.
If you are straight, it is carved into your DNA that if you happen to just flip the channels and see a couple guys cornholing each other, you will have to hold your hand up and avert your gaze. Yeah. Pardon the pun.
You won't be angry with those guys.
You won't be angry. You'll not have to go bash them. You'll not have to urinate into a fire hydrant, get in the back of your friend's 72 Love pickup truck and drive up and down Ventura Boulevard when you're in high school, spraying the urine under pressure.
Okay.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
All right. I'll check the records.
Wow. Hypothetically.
Anyway.
You will not have to do any of that. Right. You will have to change the channel. Otherwise, you're in danger of vomiting.
Yes, that's right.
Drew is liberal. I am liberal. I give a rat's ass what you do with your boyfriend's ass. You show me explicit gay porn, I have to turn and look the other way.
Yeah.
I can, however, watch Joe Theismann get his femur cracked, but I cannot watch this. And that's how straight guys are.
Yeah.
And as I've said many times, it's a wonder there's not more gay bashing, considering 100% of males find other males, straight males, find that males engaging in explicit gay sex repulsive and hard to look at.
Impossible to look at.
Impossible to look at. So, John.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why we know you're gay.
That's why we know you're gay.
Okay, but see, this is the thing. See a naked chick, spring an erection. See a guy, spring an erection.
It'll change.
It'll sort of focus in, but
it'll narrow in.
It also suggests a little sexual compulsion, and maybe you were sexually abused growing up, and that's where that all kind of comes from.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, okay, when I was 8, my cousin molested me, and
all right. Well, there you go. That's how that happens.
All right, now let's talk about Christianity. You say you're Christian?
I try to be.
And your family is very religious?
Very religious mother, very non-religious father.
All right, well, listen to him. I mean, look, here...
Listen to him. Yeah, well, here's... he, like, beat me. I don't want to listen to him. He's a jerk.
He beats you. You're beaten and sexually abused.
All right, you're gay.
So this is
now,
that's a bad combo, John.
Here's the thing, John.
Yeah, screw you guys. I hate you both.
John. All right.
What?
Oh, man, is he?
Okay. He's beaten by his dad. I hate speakerphones, and he's on.
All right, John.
But he's beaten by his dad, so everybody's abusing him.
Sorry,
so.
John. First promise, do not come out to L.A. Do not be an actor. Don't come out here pursuing your dreams of modeling or acting or anything. Please stay in Idaho. Please, you horrible other cities, stop sending us your a-holes for us to contend with. Because that's all Los Angeles is turning into. A bunch of a-holes on a freeway in front of me. Stay in Idaho and pursue whatever dreams you have to pursue. Get some therapy. If you're sexually molested
and
or physically abused.
Physically abused, sexually abused, that's
right.
A bad combo, John.
That's right.
Does this all be clearer for you as you sort of get some individual therapy? That's really what needs to happen.
Thirdly, don't be do not go through life. The worst thing you can do is go through life conflicted. I'm gay, but I don't want to be gay. I think that, you know, every time I do something, Jesus is looking at me. And
maybe he'll find
stuff.
Out he's not gay or something, because it is all about the sexual abuse in him, and he didn't have overt, longstanding sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. It's almost more the trauma with the dad is what really pushed him over the edge.
Mm-hmm. All right. Angry.
Yeah. Oh,
weird.
Angry.
Just please stay in Idaho. Please. 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 Do you know how hard it is to live out here your whole life and have busloads of a-holes, angry victims of abuse, self-entitled victims of abuse get dropped off at your doorstep on a daily basis who can't drive? Oh, yeah. Shiseida.
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll? I'm sorry. I had to put you on hold for 20 minutes because you corrected me on the pronunciation of your name.
I'm sorry.
All right. And you told me you correct everyone all day. Don't correct people.
Okay.
Let them pronounce it how they're going to pronounce it unless you're dating them.
Okay.
Okay. What's up?
Well, I'm absurdly submissive with boyfriends, current and present. Mm. And I just want to know kind of like...
Current and present.
Yeah. Hmm.
What does that mean?
You meant past and current. Yeah. Or past and
oh, what do you mean sorry, by yeah. sub, what do you mean? Right. What does that mean? Overly submissive. What, describe that.
Well, like if they ask me for something, I'll immediately give it to them without second thought, and I don't need the time to consider the repercussions of my actions.
Like, give me an example.
Like recently with my current boyfriend, I just gave him my virginity, and
this is what you're obsessing about.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, you know, keep going.
All right. You're 17. That's normal.
Yeah. I was hoping to stay it till marriage, but, and then, like, I'm overly obsessive, too. Like, I'm very clingy and extremely just.
All right. Let me explain the virginity thing. It's right up there with the veterinarian thing.
Yeah.
There's not a seventh grade girl on the planet that you don't talk to that isn't going to be a virgin until she's married. She's going to give it away to her husband on the wedding night, right. And who isn't going to be a veterinarian.
Right.
Check back with most of them about the 10th or 11th grade. Let's see how that dream's going.
Oh, boy.
On both counts. I swear to Christ, if you took 1,000 seventh grade girls, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade girls and said, what do you want to do and tell me about your hymen? Which I will do, Drew.
I'm sure that's a study you're going to do.
986 of them would be like, veterinarian?
Waiting until I'm married.
I'm going to be working on ponies.
And dolphins.
And I will be a virgin working on ponies when I'm 25. That's and if the hymen goes, it's only because I'm right bareback. That's how I will do it. Now, you get hold of them in the 10th grade. I've been with 9 guys. And, well, I'm on academic probation. I'm actually going to continuation school. But actually, I'm
still going to be a vet.
I've been held back. Yeah. Been held back 2 grades. Yeah. That's how that goes.
And so this really, Shiseida.
Oh, Shiseida.
Yeah, Shiseida, you're putting all these labels and interpretations on things you don't really understand.
Shiseida, you want to work with animals?
No.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a writer.
Ooh. What kind of stuff?
Mostly fiction, like fictional kind of historical fiction.
Mmm. Time machine stuff.
It's like Henry VIII.
Can't disturb anything when you go back. All right.
I'm also into fantasy, like vampire and...
Uh-oh.
Molested? Physical abuse.
Yeah.
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 Which one?
Both.
Molested. And both.
Yeah, both.
I swear, right. Drew, I'm telling you, I'm going to make a checklist for your sons when they start dating.
You're a vampire. You show me. Yeah.
Here's a chick you want. Are you in a vampire? What's a vampire? You're in. You don't want. I kind of do have a blood fetish. Any fetish.
You're just not cool, man. You're not open minded.
Yeah, not open minded.
You're judgmental.
Yeah. I know your uncle molested you, and now magically you have this fetish, and now it's up for. Up to the world to take your fetish seriously? Hey, she thinks she's a vampire bat. Yeah, she's troubled. She needs therapy. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, almost whoa. Judgmental.
Whoa.
Not everybody has money and time for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, who molested you?
My best friend's cousin.
That's beautiful.
How old were you?
8 and 9.
Ugh.
8 and 9. And how old was the guy?
13.
Yeah, was the, you can feel okay, Adam, about the fact that he was no doubt abused, sexually abused by an adult too.
Okay, baby, how about a little therapy for this?
Here's the deal. What you're describing is problems with boundaries, that you can't say no, you can't establish boundaries, you sort of dissolve into the other person when you're with them. Mm-hmm. And that is a very, that the trauma survivors get that. You were sexually abused, physically abused, that's what happens from that. You need to get in a treatment situation where you learn to reestablish those boundaries of the self, mm-hmm. learn to regulate your feelings so you can have closeness without being overtaken by other people. It's not about submissiveness. This is about serious problems with boundaries and dysfunction in your relationship.
Are you angry?
It's only going to get worse as you get older.
Are you angry at your boyfriend? Do you feel like he coaxed your virginity away from you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You just said that you submitted to it and he, without thinking of the consequences, took it away.
Are you angry with him?
Well, of course.
No, I'm really, it's both ways. He'll ask me and I'll give it, and then sometimes he won't even ask and I'll just feel like I kind of want to give it away.
Well, here's the thing about your virginity. You can't pass it back and forth. It's not herpes.
Well, I mean, he'll ask for other sexual pleasures, and I'll just, okay.
Yeah, it's not virginity anymore.
And I hope he says pleasures, by the way.
And by the way, wasn't even virginity.
Wedge, I desire sexual pleasures. Come hither.
All right, look. Get some treatment, Steve. You really need it. You owe it to yourself. Your relationships are going to be a very, very unpleasant place for you to try to have a good life.
As we've said many times on this show, when you're a girl and you've had your bell rung at a young age, but you have all this sexual power, it is scary and dangerous. You become like that kid from the Twilight Zone who can wish people out into the cornfield.
Right.
I mean, think about this, Drew. I had a crappy childhood.
Back to the corn again.
When I had a crappy childhood, but when I was 15 or 16 or 17, I had no juice.
Right.
There's nothing I could do.
Except say yes to the man and play some football.
Nothing I could do. Just play a little sports.
Yeah.
Take it out on the field. But if somebody said to me, if there were 25-year-old women that were interested in taking me out, oh, my God. and you said to me, listen, Adam, it's wrong. Just don't do it.
And study some more.
And some chick was going to pull up and honk her horn at, 10:30 at night, and I was going to crawl out my window and whatever. Oh, were you kidding? Would have been all over it.
Oh, my God.
So we talk to screwed up people all the time and tell them, look, don't do this. Meanwhile, guys are coming at them left and right because they have this magical power. They're an attractive 17-year-old. We tell them it's wrong. You need therapy. Don't listen to it.
No way.
But it's attention, attention, attention.
It's gratification. It feels good. It's regulation. It's satisfaction. It's feeling like a validated as a person.
And
all
you know,
that good stuff.
And you know what it is? It's like a jock. It's like a guy who, runs a 4.440 and he bench presses 400 pounds and he's a captain of the football team. And you're telling him, look, you have to study.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't go to parties. And, now look, people are going to come up because you're a celebrity on campus. We really need you to stay in Friday night and focus on your studies. No way. Screw it. I want to bang some cheerleaders. And, well, what about college? I'll get into college because I'm that great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you get that? And then once in a while, you do find the rare scholar athlete.
I know. We got to study him like him.
Where do you find the scholar skank? Drew, get a scholarship going.
Scholar skank?
I'm not sure what that trophy's going to look like. It's going to be made out of lucite. I know that.
Skank scholarship.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Board certified physician. How often do you have to take those boards, Drew?
Depends. The medicine boards I only take once. I take the addiction boards every 10 years, I think it is.
Why? Because that changes?
Yeah, and that now if you come into medicine now, you actually have to take those every, I think, 5 years. So what I do is I take something called the MKSAP, which is a review. It's like doing the boards at home, basically. Mm-hmm. And you go and send it in and get them tested and graded and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so you're kind of grandfathered in.
Grandfathered in where I don't need to repeat the medicine boards.
It's an interesting concept, that whole grandfather concept.
Yeah, it never made sense to me. That's why I've always done the MKSAP. If I figure if they need me to do that, then I'll do it.
It's good, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that the most bizarre form of that was that hockey helmet thing. This is how you know hockey's a non-sport. Sorry, Anderson, but when they decided everyone needed to wear helmets somewhere in the 80s, the guys who were in the league before they made the law didn't have to wear the helmets.
Yeah.
So for 10 years, there were guys running around. Half the team had a helmet, half the team didn't.
Yeah.
Close your eyes and picture another sport where half the guys are just wearing some of the equipment and the other guys aren't. And if there was any reason to ever wear a helmet, hockey was it.
Oh, yeah.
The goaltenders didn't even wear face masks for a while.
I know. And what I like about hockey is, look, if you got to wear a helmet to fly a fighter jet, you need one. You need one to play hockey.
They're going to probably start doing it with the visors, too, but it's going to get grandfathered in.
Visors? Yeah.
For what?
Just so the puck doesn't hit them. Guys are getting pucks out in the face. Uh-huh. Yeah, getting gouged.
It's the greatest sport in the world. How dare you, Corolla?
The other thing I like about hockey, too, is the fact that the guy said, okay, we'll wear the helmet, but none of us will cinch the chin strap down. So it just hangs down like a bucket handle. And then when they get in a fight or they get bridge, their shoulder blades hit the ice first. The helmet comes loose and then the head makes contact with the ice. The helmet always flies off when they hit their head on the ground.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah, because, you know, race car drivers will wear a helmet, but they'll never cinch it down. Idiots. Lainey?
Hi. 24? Taking my call. Yeah.
What's up, precious?
Okay, so my boyfriend and I, we've been together for a little over 2 years, and we were both pretty inexperienced when we got together, so we were both virgins when we got together.
How old were you when you got together?
I was 22.
And how old is he?
He's a couple years older. He's 29.
Whoa. He was 29 and he'd never had sex with anybody? Wait a minute.
Something's up.
He had sex with somebody, just not women.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, I guess that's my question. So we were discussing, just previous experiences with other people. It didn't necessarily have to be intercourse. And he revealed to me that there's this bathhouse up in Capitol Hill. It's, like, notoriously a gay section of town. And I guess he used to receive oral sex from men.
All right, so he's gay, and he's trying to be straight now.
How dare you, Drew? How dare you paint with such a narrow brush?
So you painted for me. What would you say?
Gay, and gay.
Yes, and trying to be straight for some reason. I wonder why, though.
Yeah. Weird religious upbringing or physical or sexual abuse.
But why is he trying to be straight?
Hold on a second. Let me just say this, Drew. Please back me up on this.
Mm.
I am tired of this society, everyone making these kind of proclamations where I engage in this behavior, but I'm not this. Sure, I've killed a few people. I'm no murderer.
I'm not a murderer. Yeah.
No murder.
Yeah.
Sure, I've taken a few lives a little welfare fraud and a little elderly abuse, but I'm not a bad person.
Right.
I'm not a bad person.
Here's what people declare whatever they want.
I abuse the elderly, but I'm not a bad person. And then,
I'm also not an elder abuser.
There's always some old lady backing this guy up, and I mean wife or girlfriend. Oh, yeah, no, he abuses the elderly, but he's not a bad guy, and he's not an elderly abuser. Yeah, sure, I get blown by a baker's dozen of guys every weekend.
Not gay. No way.
How dare you
try to label me?
You can't label me just because my penis never leaves the mouth of another man. When I go to the mailbox, I got a guy kneeling in front of me on a mechanics creeper with my penis in his mouth, and I actually push him in the mouth. How dare you call me gay? There's a lawsuit now. Oh, you want to keep going?
And
there's going to be a lawsuit.
The glory hole? I mean, what's the big deal?
Manning the glory hole on the long weekends over at Cuffs or the Barbary Coast does not make me gay.
There we go. So, Lainey.
Yeah. Not gay.
What's the plan here?
Just completely ruled out then.
What's that?
Experimentation.
Yes. Completely ruled out.
Experimenting. That's the other one, too. It was a phase. I was experimenting.
Yeah. I suppose there is such a thing as a male experimenting once. but a straight male will retch and run away and be traumatized by it.
Here's as far as I'll give the male experimenting.
Men, they're not like women.
If you tell me you were 13 and you were at sleepaway camp,
yeah,
and the guy in the bunk over you had an idea, and you guys just, you know, put a sock over a hand and, you know, yeah, diddled the guy's peckaroo, I might go along with you on that one. But once you're an adult, you do not experiment.
No. Men are very directed, driven.
Okay.
Yeah, you give that sort of weird crossroads 11, 12, 13 years old and at some camp with some other guys pushing an agenda, I might give you something. But once you're over 18, no more experimenting.
Okay.
All right.
Even though I don't call it experiment, they're too directed. They don't experiment. They're just going in a direction.
Right. Okay. It's like saying you've been conducting a heterosexual experiment for all these years.
Right.
Is that Andrew?
So even though it's limited only to oral sex and not anal, it's still...
Most gay men do not...
classified as being gay.
Lainey, most gay men never have anal sex.
That's right. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, or don't do it very often.
Don't. A lot of most gay men don't do that.
Yeah.
A lot do, but most don't.
Even they know it's wrong. Lady, obviously you know something about this guy. I mean, we're not telling you things you haven't felt. Maybe you've ignored them, but obviously you have some feelings.
Okay, you're probably right. I'm just repressing them or something.
What does the guy do for a living?
Even probably more for you guys to psychoanalyze me, but he's kind of had problems with drugs and stuff in the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes drug addiction, you know, he's sexually abused.
Well, he was trying to make money. He could have been trying to make money.
Yeah, but this means, right, he was sexually abused. He may have been sort of prostituting himself for coke or heroin or something.
Yeah.
This is a really pathological situation. So
a lot of gay guys, by the way, will give the BJ to the guy who's formerly sort of heterosexual. It's this weird compromise thing.
Huh?
Well, it's like this. Gay guys like, look, how much you give me a BJ? And you're like, I'm not going to give you a BJ. How much for me to give you a BJ?
Oh, that whole thing. Yeah.
And then that guy's kind of like, well, I don't want to give you a BJ, but I need to get high.
Right.
And you're offering me $150 to do it on me.
And they can get kind of locked into that a little bit, too.
And then it just becomes a quick $150.
How's his drug addiction going now?
I guess he was involved with, like, crack and stuff. And
how's his drug addiction going now? He's just drinking.
No, he's not. He's actually in rehabilitation.
Hmm. He's in a hospital right now?
In, like, some inpatient therapy.
All right. Okay. So he's in treatment. Are you going to Al-Anon? Do you have an Al-Anon sponsor? Are you participating in family treatments?
No.
But I probably should.
Yeah,
well,
do that.
If you're going to be in that relationship, you must.
Lainey.
Or the relationship will not end, or you will make him sick again.
I like that name, Lainey.
Yeah.
Lainey, I don't know what happened to you. Oh, I'm sure we could do the remainder of the show on you. Here's the thing, baby doll. You're not stupid, but you're damaged. And do not let this guy get you pregnant.
I like
the fact that he's in treatment.
Yep, that's good.
I don't say he was sick. He was on drugs. He was doing what he had to do. And I don't say that has to be a scarlet letter he needs to wear around his neck.
He may be gay. He may have been sexually abused. He may have been on his disease and doing all kinds of stuff.
As long as he's sober and working the plan and doing his therapy.
And sorting these things out.
Yes, do not get pregnant, but continue the relationship. Yeah. If he starts getting back on the crack...
Well,
yes,
he's going to need many months of treatment, by the way.
What is that, too, with the dude, like, how about a BJ? Like,
I know.
I don't think I'm going to willing to do that. Oh, how about I give you a BJ? That's what I love about guys. Ooh. Any version of that with a chick?
No.
Imagine a chick, like, how about you go down on me for $300? I don't think so, sweetie. How about I'll go down on you for $100? Is there a chick alive? Is there a chick alive?
No.
Does that work?
No.
Doesn't work that way, does it?
No. Does not compute.
Does not compute. But also, talk about low self-esteem. And a guy, I guess, would do that. But, like, I could see saying to the hooker, look, how about a BJ in the car? But, nah, I'm not going to do it. How about I go down on you? I understand the discount. And it is funny that there's definitely, you definitely get a break. There's a break. But it is funny that you're still paying to perform oral on somebody else.
It's wild, huh?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe?
What the hell?
Joe?
Gone.
Hang up?
Yeah. Let's take a break.
What about the movement? Joe, it seemed to summon him. We seemed to cue his movement.
I know.
Could he possibly just been fumbling with the phone that way?
Hung it up or something? I don't know.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Chris. Let's focus during sex with Chris. Obsessive? Yeah. All aspects?
Chris?
All right, we'll talk to, Chris the female. Chris, hot name on a chick.
That's what I figured. You like that.
I do.
Yep.
Now, my mom's name is Chris, so it's weird.
Boo! But it's Christine.
It's like a Christine. It's like a K thing. But I've known some hot Chris's in my day. Mm. Female ones.
70s, that was a hot name.
With my mother, who I had sex with.
Oh, yeah, please, Anderson. Please. How many times have I told you not to roll tape during the break? Yeah. Mommy? Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew going to be on my show tomorrow.
Yeah, too late.
Comedy Central show. That's Andy Dick on tonight. I can't tell if he's getting better or worse.
Jesus Christ!
I can't tell you this. We went out there for the show. It takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to film. My mug had water. He put a Corona in his.
Oh, that's not good.
Not good?
Not good.
Yeah, but, you know, wasn't Everclear. It was just
not
Corona.
Not good.
Take it out.
Nice.
Found out he was adopted. I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot about that, too. Yeah. Explains a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Then the urology visits when he was 5.
Think about Andy Dick that's funny. It's like he's telling me before the show, like, look.
I'm not going to talk about
it. No ambushes, no weirdness, no funny business. It's like... Andy, I think people are used to it.
Yeah.
By now.
I have to leave at this point.
So bizarre. But yet, if you would have given me the over-under on Andy Dick
Survivor.
ODing or just career falling apart or just, you know, ramping his car around a telephone pole when he was drunk or something. I mean, we've been hanging around with the guy for 8 or 10 years.
10 years, easy.
10 years, and if you would have asked us in 1996 what was going to go on with Andy Dick, well, you're not making it into the millennium.
Yeah. Ain't no Andy Dick in the hizzy.
Chris, 22.
Hello.
Ooh, what's happening, Chris? You sound hot.
Yeah. Well, I guess my question is how do you kind of keep a focus during sex? I guess I really love the guys that I've been with. Nothing to do with them, but I just don't really keep a good focus. It goes.
What does that? What does that mean?
I pick a spot on the ceiling.
What do you mean focus?
I mean, as in like train of thought kind of things. Like I should be, you know, kind of paying attention to the person that I'm with, but I find myself thinking about sometimes other girls, other guys, and sometimes if I, you know, locked my car. And at this point, I'm not really focusing anymore. And
what do you do?
Not into it.
What do you do for a living? Do you dance?
Nope. I do manual labor, actually.
What is that?
I actually work in the music business, and you've probably seen me once or twice because I've worked on sets that you've been on. But
Are you sort of a grip or a roadie or something?
Something of that nature. I probably have a bunch of friends listening, so I'd rather not get into
it. Do you have some tats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, all the grips and roadies are all sort of tatty-dikey. Chicks, hard edge.
Well, you know, you work in a business with 60 guys every day, you kind of have to, you know,
grin about it. Not really. That's not it.
Yeah, I've worked with guys my whole life. I don't have to butch it up.
Yeah.
No, well, you have to grin and bear it. You have to, if I can't lift it, I shouldn't be there. It's definitely the
problem. I like that. So. Okay. And time to lean, time to clean is actually, dime holding up a dollar.
There you go.
That's my motto. Oh, people get violently angry when I yelled it at them.
But Chris, you're not into sex. You're not into these people at all. When you're in, people are involved in sex, they are in those moments of arousal and fusion, and they can't be anywhere else. Their biology puts them there.
People can drift around a little bit, but it doesn't stop you from enjoying the outing.
Well, I come back to it, I mean, it's just it's some of the duration. It depends on what's going on. If it's actual, like, physical sex where it's the two of us going at it, sometimes I can really pay attention, and then other times...
Pay attention. It's not saying that she drifts out. She has to fight to stay in it.
All right. You said you think about ladies sometimes.
That'll bring me back to paying attention, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, have you ever been with a lady?
Once, twice.
Maybe that's where you belong.
Not quite. I kind of like where I'm at, to be quite honest.
Well, are you able to have an intimate relationship?
A sustained relationship.
Yeah, I sustain pretty good relationships, and I mean, there are other times that I can focus, but I mean, I'd say like 60 to sometimes 70% of the time, I really can't.
Yeah, this focus thing is freaking me out.
Where's your dad?
Well, not focus, but, you know, really more so pay attention to actually thinking about the person that I'm with.
Is your dad around?
No.
Anything we need to know about?
Yes, he sexually abused her.
Anything we need to know?
Not really. Some minor stuff. I mean, I was sexual at a very young age, but I mean...
Whoa.
Not like that. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 16. It's not like that. But, I mean, I was definitely interested in, like, other kids.
Whoa. It's a child?
Yeah.
That's not normal, Chris.
There are kids that are that way.
No, wait a minute. What do you mean? You're interested in other naked kids?
When I was five, I was just like, do you have what I have? Was kind of the extent that it ever went to.
Are you a programmer, Chris?
I'm electronically inept.
No. Are you a program person? I mean, as far as
recovery.
No.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing. I'm starting to put this theory together, Drew, that some people are just sort of uncomfortable in their skin. Mm-hmm. They just can't sit still. Mm-hmm.
Did you see Breaking Bonaducci tonight? You want to see an example of that?
Oh, well, I have seen it many times. It's the addict gene, usually, but even if they're not using, it's that feeling of, it's that guy you see whose foot is always tapping, moving. He's always moving. And it's the guy who's smoking a cigarette like he's trying to siphon gas through a crazy straw, you know, these people, whether it's food or gambling or booze or cigarettes or whatever, it's like wherever they are, they can't sit and relax and enjoy. And Chris had a little bit of that to me.
Yeah.
Just like, I can't just live in the moment. I can't relax. I can't enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look into...
Whatever. If she likes where she's at,
stop beating yourself up. All up in your head.
Where I'm at, so fine.
Everyone has sex, looks at the clock every once in a while. Don't beat yourself up.
I've never heard anybody say I have to work at focusing every time.
No woman.
That's a weird thing.
No woman. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, y'all. Loveline. Well, that's it. Tom Kenny in here, SpongeBob himself, and he'll do all the voices.
It's going to be good. I can't wait. Does he do more than just SpongeBob?
Worship the cloven hoofed prince of darkness.
Yeah.
Does Squidward?
He does all of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Speed Racer, Trixie, Pops,
Spridle,
Chim Chim.
He
does them all. Great Ape. Okay. Shouldn't we sue Hanna-Barbera for that?
Yes.
We're going to take
a little
extendo 22-hour break. Tom Kenny in tomorrow night. Andy Dick on Too Late with Adam Carolla as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.